to 2 minutes each of comments after the council has discussed amongst itself. So with that, I turn to council members. You have the latest version. I'm sorry for all the confusion. I sent out two wrong versions because we had so many versions floating around. I take full responsibility for that. But I know you all have gotten the correct version, and I believe that's the version that has been posted to the city website. So just to go through it real quickly, I mean, we've read this many times, three changes between the first draft and the latest draft were discussed at one point and incorporated into this final document. Council members, is there anything you'd like to add? Please raise your hand. Rebecca?
I'll just add that I think this is a really important law for the city, and tenants deserve protection from evictions which might be brought forward for purposes that don't have to do with, difficulties that a landlord is having with a tenant. And so I think this is a really important, it's an important law statewide, and it's been passed at the state level, and other cities are seeing its importance and moving forward with essentially protection. You know, this is like, we're in a time of, this is such an overused word, but I'll just say unprecedented difficulties for people who do not own their homes. And I think it's really our responsibility as a council and a city to rise to that occasion and make some changes to protect tenants' rights.
Thank you, Rebecca. I will add two things. For readers of the New York Times, you may have noticed yesterday and today there were two relevant articles. Yesterday was a discussion of how the rent increases after the pandemic, of course, saw a lot of rents decline. But which we're not actually out of the pandemic, but there's been a significant rent increase nationwide. Pegged in this case to what's going on with inflation. Secondly, in today's paper, you may have seen that the rate of evictions has accelerated across the country. We're in a crisis of eviction. Just thought I'd point those both out for New York Times readers or someone who might be interested. Let's see, Ryan, you have your hand up.
Yep. I'll correct you on one point on that, though. Actually, in New York, the pace of evictions in New York State is not as fast as it is in other areas of the country. They did a good breakdown. One of the core benefits that I do see in this, though, of all things, and it's not written as part of the law, but as somebody who is from here and has seen how things have worked, I think that part of this also forces even mom and pop landlords to have a written lease with tenants. The days of a good handshake and verbal contract that do not stand up in court for either landlord or tenant can be solved by having something written down. So it's a byproduct of the legislation, which I just want to put out there that I think is valuable.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Any other council members would like to add any comments or questions? Who was that? Somebody? Council members?
Tom, it's Dominic.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Is Jeff on the line?
No.
Is he joining us?
No.
So we have no council regarding right now to put this in play?
What do you mean to put this in play? We don't need a council to put this in play.
Well, to make sure the legal ease on this, what we're
he has seen this document, yes.
He what? I'm sorry.
He has seen this document. Yes.
Okay. But we have no, we can't question his. Okay. There was something else I needed to say, but I lost my train of thought because I got discombobulated. I'll come back to it. Thanks.
Okay. Wait, who's that? Oh, wait. Okay, Jane, are you?
Are we discussing merely the changes of the law this evening, the things that I'm going to call it the Rebecca Wolf editions, my language, not hers, or are we looking at the proposed legislation holistically?
What would you prefer?
Holistic, as I there's some language that I'd like to see struck.
Okay.
So I mean, now, but I'm just wondering if that's on the table for the evening.
You certainly are welcome to bring it up. You know, we can discuss it certainly. Ryan has his hand up next. However, for now.
Yeah, just a couple of things on that language. The other, and I totally skipped my mind, but two questions. When I look at the Albany law, it ends with a clause B and clause C. And clause C to me really feels almost like an umbrella insurance policy about nothing in the bill shall violate New York State's real property actions and proceedings law. Is there a reason that we don't have that included with ours from a protective point of view?
Where are you looking?
At the close of Albany's law.
Oh.
There are two sections, a B and a C. Section C, and I can read aloud quickly, nothing in this section shall abrogate or limit the tenant's right pursuant to section 751 of the Real Property Actions and Proceedings Law to permanently stay the issuance or execution of a warrant or eviction in a summary proceeding. Yeah. Characterized as a non-payment objectionable tenancy or holdover proceeding, the underlying basis for which is the non-payment of rent so long as the tenant complies with the procedural requirements of section 751 of the Real Property Actions and Proceedings Law. To me, that's kind of a root in the respect of the law will always follow in accordance with summary proceedings. And I just feel like that might open us up to a can of worms if we don't have that in there.
Well, isn't that covered by Section 5 of the current law?
The tenant is using or permitting the housing accommodation to be used for a legal purpose?
If any clause, sentence, paragraph, or section of this law shall be adjudged by any competent court to be invalid, such judgment shall not affect, impair, or validate the remainder thereof. Isn't that addressing the possibility?
Oh, you mean the severability clause?
Yes, that's what
I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say yes or no for sure.
Okay.
I'm just putting it on the record that Point C was a little bit more exacting for me. That didn't make it into our law.
And Tom, that's why I'm just a little concerned that we don't have an attorney to bounce some of this stuff off on. You know what I mean? I just think that, you know, to be more comfortable on some, because we're seeing this three different ways now. And to not have counsel, I just think that that's inappropriate. At this point, you know, so I would just like to make that point.
Okay. Thank you, Dominic.
I know it's only council members.
Wait, who's that? Oh, sorry. Hold
it's
on.
It's Rebecca Groy, but I'll wait my turn.
Okay. Yeah, just give it a couple more minutes, and because we're going to open it up shortly, I think. You're third up, Rebecca. Steve Dunn had his hand up first. 2 minutes, Steve.
Good evening. I printed out what was linked on the notice of the special meeting, and it appears to be a prior draft that you're no longer talking about because it had the offending paragraph 9 that Ms. Wolf wanted to do.
I do think there was considerable confusion about which draft. So it's possible that the wrong draft is posted.
Yes, there was. So go ahead.
The public can't possibly comment about what you're discussing. That,
yes,
and
you
that's
can.
A procedural that, issue.
No, because it was.
We have my 2 minutes, but that's a procedural okay. issue for you all. Maybe because the public will now be talking about something nobody has seen.
That's not correct.
Members of the council.
Okay.
In that all there are no additions, there's only subtractions. I think it's still possible.
Well, I don't know what the subtractions are. I assume it's paragraph 9.
It is. So there you go. Yeah.
And on that, I had some suggested changes.
Okay. Well, it's no longer there.
Detail. I can't possibly mention them in 2 minutes. Okay. There's also some typos in the draft.
No, we always welcome typos.
So, but I can't do it in 2 minutes. So if you tell me to shut up, I'm gone. But I don't think that's the right way to do it.
Well, you can send us your list of typos. That would be great.
But the point is one suggestion I had. First, you have no exception for short-term rentals and Airbnbs on any of this. So you protected... are not included in this law, short-term rentals and Airbnbs and so forth. You've punished people who haven't raised their rents on tenants and they're way below market. I have some fixes on that to make, because otherwise you're forcing people to raise their rents, because otherwise if they don't, they're in deep trouble. And some other things, and I think I can meet the desires of Ms. Wolf and others as to where they're going with this. Plus, to rent out a single family home to anyone is insane under this provision. And I've already told my contractor to stop refurbishing a single family house that I've done.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of unintended consequences mm-hmm. on this.
Thank you, Steve. Your time. I gave you a little extra time because we interrupted, but...
Yeah, I know I'm over my time, so okay. I'll respect others. Saying, but it says none of us, except the council members, are looking at anything.
That need housing.
Steve. The eventual one was published. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Reset. Got my clock here. Next up is Margaret Morris, and please stay within the time limit. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I, like Steve, I don't really know what version we're looking at here and what amendments we're talking about. I had downloaded what had previously been reviewed.
Very few changes. There's one change.
I only have 2 minutes. So I just want to make my point.
Sorry.
My main concern about this law is that it has been crafted cut and paste from a law that was passed in the city of Albany. Hudson is its own thing. A lot of the landlords in Hudson are small landlords with one or two properties, small numbers of units. I'm sorry, please do not interrupt. What I have heard from landlords and tenants are primarily concerned about their rents increasing. I have heard from landlords who are concerned that they will no longer want to rent properties in Hudson. If we're going to have a viable, vibrant rental stock in Hudson, we need to bring both tenants and landlords to the table. We need to hear from both stakeholders, and we need to come up with a solution that will work for everybody. And I feel that this law that is being passed does not take the interests that the shared interests, frankly, of both tenants and landlords into consideration. And so to Steve's point, where he is looking at, I don't want to rent anymore, we're going to lose rental property in Hudson with this law. We're going to lose availability of rental units. And I am just very concerned that we need to take a step back. We need to do some focus groups. We need to hear from tenants and landlords together and hear how we can come up with a way to have a stable rental situation in Hudson where we address the fundamental issue, which is of primary concern to renters, which is increasing rents. And
Thank
that
you.
Is that is more of what they're concerned about than eviction. There are plenty of protections.
Okay, you've gone over your time. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's been 10 minutes.
Sorry, in the state legislation.
Sorry, Margaret. You're over your time. Sorry.
Thank you.
It's insane. It just seems like everybody wants to just forget about the people, and now all of a sudden this meeting is about supporting the landlords. We have been seeing this damage that has been drawn to this city since the population has been decreasing. We have seen the damage to the city since tourism been exceeding here. The rents have been gone up before this pandemic hit. This protection is for the people that you all seem to forget about. We're not forgetting about them. This law is to protect them and to keep them here in this city. You're talking about you want to stop your construction? Well, that's your prerogative. That's not for us to decide what you want to do with your property. We're here to defend the people that's losing their rent, their home. That's what we're talking about. That's what this law is for. We had plenty of opportunities to sit here and talk and do all of that. We've been doing that for years in this city, okay? People have been losing their property because they've been neglected in their rentals because of these landlords taking their money and nobody's championing up for them. That's what we're here for tonight. Let me hear something about the people that's losing their housing because they can't afford what you want to charge, $1,500. $1,200. Don't want to take it personal. Don't say I'm attacking you because this goes out to everyone out here.
Tom, so please, I would like to.
Don't cut me off. I didn't cut you off. Don't do that. You had your 2 minutes.
Tiffany, because Rebecca was like, is that okay if Rebecca talks?
She if you want to cut me off, she's going to have her time too.
Okay. I didn't know if you're, I'm asking if you're finished. That's all.
I'm finished when I stop. This is insane. Stop forgetting about the people that brought you here. This is insane. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Okay. Thank you, Tiffany. Rebecca?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, about what are considered the good causes for eviction. And just to point out, you know, I've heard from some stakeholders who are landlords or property owners who express what feels to me like, I'm not going to say hysterical because that is an orientation on a womb, which wombs are awesome. But like, it seems to me that there's a kind of a, I guess alarmist would be the word, idea that landlords will not be able to evict tenants who are not paying their rent. But clearly that is considered a good cause for eviction, is when a tenant is not paying rent or has refused to pay rent. And so, you know, with some exceptions, i.e. when rent has been raised without an agreement. And so I just wanted to point out that this law is intended to make landlords into good landlords, basically.
Thank you, Rebecca. Did you just put your hand back up?
No, I meant to take it down. Sorry.
Okay. Next is Rebecca Gerard. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to be really quick, in deference to time. I want to know a couple of things, right? So one of the important amendments that we've talked about, which is excluding as good cause the transfer of ownership, did not exist and does not exist in the statewide bill. So when we talk about that as something that is questionable in terms of defensibility, in constitutionality, or pushing the boundaries, the bill that has existed at the statewide level since 2019 does not have transfer of ownership as a good cause. and hasn't had that since 2019. So Hudson is not stepping out in front of, or, you know, really like leading in a radical way in terms of that amendment. It's just really moving in line with the bill that's been in existence for 3 years and the bill that's existed in New Jersey since 1974 and the bill that has existed in states across the country since other years, right? So this is not radical. It's not pushing the envelope. It's really just meeting the bar that has existed for decades in other municipalities and other states, right? And in terms of the concern that I heard around like a single family home where why you would want to make improvements, literally the bill says that if you're going to make improvements, you can go above the 5% threshold. The 5% threshold of rent increase.
Rebecca, can you sum it up, please?
Yes, the 5% threshold of increase says that that is for doing nothing other than breathing as a property owner. Any investment in the property allows you to go above that. Any cost increase allows you to go above that. And so what we are, and I'm going to sum this up in 30 seconds, I swear, Tom. What we are discouraging is property owners who are increasing rents that are not correlated with investments in property. And what we are discouraging are evictions that are attached to retaliatory evictions for complaining about conditions because they have slumlords. And I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. You just made it under. Jane, you had your hand up.
Wait a minute.
You're not coming through, Jane, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, you know, can't hear me?
Now we are. Sorry, I'm not sure. No, you're breaking up.
You know what? I'm going to back too hard. Not working. Okay.
Sorry. Next hand up is Kaya Weidman.
I'll try to be quick. I just wanted to call attention to the false threat of losing rentals because landlords will be prohibited from unreasonably jacking up rents with no justification. If that discourages individuals from renting their homes, then so be it. That is exactly the point, is if someone is discouraged from renting out their building because they can't exploit and take advantage of their renters, then we don't want them as landlords in the city because that's the problem. So Steve and others who are using that as a threat, I think, needs to be called out. Additionally, if not having this protection was somehow better for the rental market, then we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in now. We've gone this long without these protections here, and right now we're in a complete and total housing crisis where our families are being pushed out at an extraordinary rate. That is because we don't have protections. It's not because landlords are being overly hemmed in. So I just want to address those myths that have been presented here and that are consistently presented in other cities who are looking at this legislation in these false narratives around discouraging landlords. What we're trying to do is incentivize good landlords who can still make money actually off of this and being renters and renting out to people, but doing so in a way that's ethical and supports the long-term stability of families and individuals making their lives here in this community, which is the ultimate thing we want to do, is incentivize people to be able to stay and commit and invest in their community and thrive and live in a healthy way. If we don't take action, we are going to lose the very thing that attracted most of you on this call to this city.
Thank you, Kaya. I appreciate it. Next, back to a council member, Ryan Wallace.
Yeah, I just want to add on to what Kaya was saying. You know, it goes back to what I said at the beginning of this call. I think a byproduct that comes out of this is that it's going to force written agreements instead of word of mouth handshakes that don't stand up for either party. I think it protects the landlords just as much. And to build off of what Rebecca Gerard was saying, you know, we role played the scenario of, say that you own an apartment built or an apartment. You redo the kitchen, you put a new roof on it, you fix the deck. You've spent upwards of $60,000 to $70,000 on that. You decide that you need to raise the rent by 10%. The tenant doesn't agree with it. You go in front of a judge. The judge is able to find for the landlord to say, look, the landlord actually has put a large investment into this domicile, and thereby they need to recoup some of the money from that. The judge can find in favor of the landlord in that case, and then the tenant is presented with two options, either to accept the 10% and renew, or they don't have to accept the lease renewal as well. And I think people get tripped up, as Rebecca was saying, on that number. So it's not solely finding in favor of a tenant. It is giving a path forward for a reasonable judgment on either side. That's it.
Thank you, Ryan. Any other council members? And the community, the public, seems to be silent at this point. So I'm going to ask a council member, does someone want to introduce this for next Tuesday's meeting?
I'll introduce it.
Tiffany. And do I have a second?
I'll second it, Rebecca.
Rebecca. Well, that takes care of tonight's business. We have this. This will be on the table for Tuesday. Written comments are welcome. I'm sorry I couldn't get the other version up on the website today because, and I'm also sorry that we're meeting on Veterans Day, but City Hall was closed today, so I couldn't get the correct version up. Fortunately, there's almost nothing different except for that one paragraph that Steve noticed.
Tom, there's a hand up.
Oh, okay. It's introduced, but okay, sure, why not?
I see two.
So Donna, I'm sorry, Danae Edmund.
Hi, I just wanted to say one thing, which is that from hearing this meeting, because I feel like the first time it was said to be, it was going to be passed, and then it was supposed to be taken back to make a revision, mm-hmm. so that it could pass again. But right now it seems like, I don't want it to be like, okay, we had this conversation, and then it gets into closed doors, and it seems like people with power...
Nothing happens in closed doors here. Nothing.
Okay, well, people with power are, like, vetoing it or saying, like, for example, just to be clear, because I feel like it's not being explicitly named, like, if we have a pandemic plus oncoming cold season plus unaffordable rent plus, like, the rise of income inequality, then that means death. And the first people who die are poor people and are Black and brown people. And so that's what we're saying when people who have homes and then have second homes to rent out are saying that we're not going to fix those homes because now we're not going to make enough, we're not going to make money. To me, it's like you're putting your leisure or extra income above someone's life, which is unconscionable. And so I hope that people are thinking about that, because I'm sure people who even have time to be on this council know that they're going to have food in their mouths and a home to sleep in, or can pay their rent and their heating and probably own their homes and have generational wealth stolen from slavery and genocide. And so I hope that's in our conscience as we're making the decision to pass this bill, which is not even that much. I'm like, in New York used to have a rent freeze, you know, like my mother's rent stabilized. Like, I feel like it's not that much of an ask. So I hope that when we are listening, we act with a higher conscience than what I'm hearing right now.
Thank you. And Tuesday night, we will be voting on this. So, and then it sits for a month. And I'm sorry, Tuesday night goes on our desks. And then we vote
on
it.
Thank you, Ms. Edmund.
Thank you, yes. And then December, we finally vote on it. Margaret Morris wants to talk again. Let's hold on a second.
Thanks, Tom. I just want to know where the version of the bill that is being voted on will appear, because there's a lot of confusion about what version we're looking at.
There's really not that much confusion. It's just, like as I said, just a few...
Tom, you can put the version up on the website, right?
Yeah, I couldn't do it today, as I tried to explain, right. Because
no,
it was Veterans
fine.
Day.
That's fine.
It'll go up first thing tomorrow.
Okay, so we should look at...
And you could take two versions and compare them if you want. I can point out to you what's missing.
Where will it appear? Will it appear in the committee piece on the website for the legal committee? Where exactly will it appear so the public can find it?
It'll appear in a number of places. First of all, it'll be among the documents for next Tuesday's meeting.
That's for the regular Common Council meeting?
Correct.
Okay, that's where I'll look then.
And, yeah. And I'll change it for where it is right now in the announcement for this meeting. I think that, I can change it there. I'll have it changed there as well. But I'll make it accessible.
But as long as it's a document in next week's meeting for Common Council, then people will be able to find it.
Correct.
Just want to make sure they know where to find it.
Yep, definitely.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Jane, did you want to?
Let me give this one more shot.
Okay. I'm sad to say it's not working.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks. Okay, Tom.
We can't hear you. I'm sorry, Jane. We just can't hear you.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. No one opposed. See you all on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you.